Tanakh, lesson 15. Last week we had a prayer meeting together where we prayed to start the, just before the new year. We started the new year off by praying. And the week before that I wasn't here, but Pastor Andrew did lesson 14. And so we're picking it up here on lesson 15 with the Messiah entering public, entering publicly into Jerusalem. Okay, so one of the places that the Jesus also taught, as we know, is Jerusalem. So just as way of introduction, we've already seen Jesus enter his public ministry after he was baptized, filled with the Holy Spirit, in his hometown of Nazareth. Remember, there was John baptizing, and Jesus came to him, and there was a discussion between John and Jesus, and John said, "You really need to baptize me," but he said, "No, we need to fulfill righteousness." And as Jesus was being baptized, the Spirit came upon him, and the Father spoke. Wonderful picture of the Trinity there. And from that point forward, we talked about how Jesus was filled with the Spirit of God so that he could perform his messianic ministry. Of course, he was then driven into the wilderness where he spent 40 days fasting. And during those 40 days, he was tried by the devil and defeated the devil soundly. But when he went to his hometown of Nazareth, he was not accepted. Remember, we saw how he read in the prophet Isaiah, and then he closed the scroll, he gave it to the attendant, he sat down, and he said, "This day, this prophecy is fulfilled before you." And then the people were like, "Oh, isn't this Joseph's son? Isn't he the carpenter?" And and then of course, as he began teaching and mentioning how a prophet can't do much work in his hometown, and he mentioned the healing of Gentiles from the Old Testament, they tried to take him and run him off the cliff. Of course, he then went to start his ministry in Galilee, which is what Pastor Andrew looked at our last time together. There were a few times he left Galilee, though. The vast majority of Jesus' preaching and teaching ministry was in the north, in Israel. So if you have a map in the back of your Bible, you'll notice that there's Galilee in the north, then you'll notice Samaria, and in the south, Judea, where Jerusalem is. And the vast majority of Jesus' ministry was spent in Galilee. There was a couple of times, the Bible tells us, that he left Israel. He would go to Decapolis, we read, and Decapolis was east of the Jordan River, in the kingdom days. It was the 2.5 tribes on the other side, but by the time Jesus came, that part of the land was called Decapolis. It was mainly Gentiles. It was mainly where the people were driven out of Israel. It's modern day Jordan today. Okay. And then sometimes we hear he went to Tyre and Sidon. Tyre and Sidon are north of Israel, along the coast of the Mediterranean, in what is modern-day Turkey. Okay, so it was Phoenicia back then. So, but the vast majority of his ministry was in Galilee. But today we're going to see that the Tanakh prophesied that he would minister in Jerusalem. Now this makes sense, because Jerusalem is not only the political capital, but it's also the religious capital of Israel. And Judaism, of course, the temple was there. So it's obvious that the Messiah would minister there. So let's look at a couple of Old Testament prophecies from Zechariah and Isaiah, and we'll see its fulfillment in Matthew. So look with me tonight at Zechariah chapter 2. Zechariah chapter 2 and verse 10, we read, "Sing and rejoice, O daughter of Zion, for lo, I come, and I will dwell in the midst of thee, saith the Lord." Now notice the word Zion. We just sang, we're marching to Zion, okay? Zion. Zion is another name for Jerusalem, okay? It's another name. Zion means parched place, and it's another name for Jerusalem. And so we're marching to Zion. We're marching to Jerusalem. So here it's prophesied in Zechariah, the O daughter of Zion, O daughter of Jerusalem. Look at chapter 9 of Zechariah. Chapter 9 and verse 9. Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Again, shout, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, thy king cometh unto thee. He is just, having salvation, lowly, riding upon an ass and upon a colt, the foal of an ass. So here we see the prophecy, of course, that we're going to see that was fulfilled in Matthew 21. We'll talk about that. But again, what is being prophesied? We already saw the prophecies that said the Messiah would teach in Galilee, but he's also coming to Zion, Jerusalem, okay? And again, it makes sense. The priesthood is there. The temple is there. And we'll see that. So all this was prophesied 487 years before Christ, okay? But a prophecy even older than that, if you would turn to Isaiah 12, so go backward in your Bible, make a left out of Zechariah, and go to Isaiah 12 and verse number 6. Cry out and shout, thou inhabitant of Zion, for great is the Holy One of Israel in the midst of thee. The Holy One of Israel. Of course, reference here to the Messiah. And he's coming. Where's he coming again? Inhabitants of Zion. What is Zion in particular? Jerusalem, okay? And so he's coming. Now, this was... Isaiah lived from 740 to 701 B.C., so somewhere in that time frame, 700 years before Christ, he prophesies this, okay? Anybody ever read any of the history, now not biblical history, but Josephus and whatnot, about the terrible end that Isaiah met? Isaiah was put in a log and sawn in two. Not this way, this way. Okay, he met a terrible end. Okay, so the people of Israel didn't always treat their prophets good either. Especially by the end of Isaiah's life, all the kings of Judah weren't good either, and there were some pretty wicked kings. Okay, I don't remember the name of the king that history tells us had him. So what do we see tonight? We see the Tanakh prophesying that Jesus, the Messiah, would be coming to Jerusalem. Do we see that? We see it many times, but in particular, look at Matthew 21. Matthew 21. In verse 1, we'll start our reading. And when they drew nigh unto Jerusalem, and were come to Bethpage, unto the Mount of Olives, then sent Jesus two disciples, saying unto them, Go into the village over against you, and straightway ye shall find an ass tied and a colt with her. Loose them, and bring them unto me. And if any man say aught unto you, ye shall say, The Lord hath need of them, and straightway he will send them. All this was done, that it might be fulfilled which is spoken by the prophet. Tell ye the daughter of Zion, Behold, thy king cometh unto thee, meek, sitting upon an ash, and the colt, the foal of an ash. And of course, that's from Zechariah 9:9. So here we see what we would call Palm Sunday, which starts also what we call the Passion Week of the Christ, that last week of his life, his last time entering Jerusalem. And as he comes this time, if we would continue to read on in the account, what do we see? The people praising him and the people putting down the palm branches and their coats and hosannas, and they're welcoming their king. And remember, the Pharisees say, stop the people from saying this. Jesus doesn't stop them. And he says a great thing: even if we did, the stones would cry out. You know, so sometimes rocks are smarter than people, you know. And but this is the fulfillment of that. And Bethpage, that Beth, anytime you see the word Beth, means house, okay? So Bethpage, house of figs. So what do you think they grew there? Apples, right? No, figs, of course, okay? Figs. And it's between Jericho and Jerusalem on the Jericho Road, and it's close to Bethany. And if you have a map in the back of your Bible, it's east of Jerusalem. So Bethpage and Bethany, and this is where this takes place. So it was fulfilled that Jesus, the Messiah in particular, would come to Jerusalem. And again, why are we sharing all of these things? Number one, of course, for us to know our Bible and for us to see the wonderful prophecy and the fulfillment. But this is very important for us to know these things as we share the gospel with Jewish people. Hey, look what your Bible prophesied in Zechariah 9. Look at it fulfilled in Matthew 21, you know. And so these are ways that we could get people to see. Now again, what was significant about Jerusalem in Jesus' day? The temple was there, okay? The priesthood was there, and all the people were commanded to attend the holy days in Jerusalem. Look at Exodus 23, please. Now, whenever Jesus was in Jerusalem, because he was there for the feast days, and we find that even from a child he did that, right? The one account of his childhood years beside his birth, the one account we have about him, where was his family when they lost him? In Jerusalem. And as their custom was, every year for the feast days, the holy days, they went to Jerusalem. So in Exodus 23, verse 14, the Bible says this: three times thou shalt keep a feast unto me in the year. This is the Lord speaking. Okay, so three times thou shalt keep a feast unto me in the year. Thou shalt keep the feast of unleavened bread. Thou shalt eat unleavened bread 7 days as I commanded thee in the time appointed of the month Abib. For in it thou camest out from Egypt, and none shall appear before me empty. So this first feast, the feast of unleavened bread, takes place in the spring, and within the feast of unleavened bread, which lasted 7 days, what kicked off the feast of unleavened bread? Passover, okay? So within the feast of unleavened bread is Passover. So all of Israel had to go to Jerusalem for Passover. So how many people you think were there? A lot, okay? And we see crowds and throngs of people. So Jesus, many times in the temple, has tremendously large audiences to speak to. Okay? Look at verse 16. And the feast of harvest, the first fruits of thy labors, which thou hast sown in the field. Okay? So the feast of harvest, another spring festival. Another spring holiday. This is what we call Pentecost, okay? And Pentecost takes place how many days after Passover? 50, okay? Penta, 50. After, so it's also in the spring of the year, and then the Feast of Ingathering, which is in the end of the year, when thou hast gathered in thy labors out of the field. So this is the fall festival, and it's also called Tabernacles, okay? The Feast of Tabernacles. There's a more detailed religious calendar in the book of Leviticus that lays out all of the holidays, but this was the initial giving of the law where God required those three times you had to be, you had to go. And one of the things about, you know, if you study the nation of Israel, and one of the thing is when the tabernacle, the temple was built, especially by Solomon, it had a unifying effect on the country, right? Because they're all coming together. Even if you lived all the way in the north in Dan, okay? You lived all the way in the north in Dan, you came at least three times. There was a unifying effect. And when the kingdom was divided with Rehoboam and Jeroboam, you know, the king of the north said, look, if we don't have a place for the people to worship in the north, their heart's going to be drawn away, right? And they're going to go, and they're going to, you know, so what did he do? He started, you know, idol worship, okay? And of course, that eventually led to later on, after the Assyrian captivity, that led to what we know as the Samaritans. And so you know how the Jewish people felt about the Samaritans and vice versa. But it made perfect sense for the Tanakh to prophesy that Jesus would teach in Jerusalem because he had to go there. And while there, of course, you know, and as you go through the Gospels, I'm excited about what Pastor Andrew, do they know what you're going to be preaching on in a few weeks? Yes. Okay, the life of Christ. You know, he's going to do a series on the life of Christ through all the Gospels. And, you know, it's exciting, some of those accounts when he's there, to know what, you know, what is so significant about Jesus standing in the temple at the last day of the feast, that great day, and saying, you know, if any man thirst, let him come unto me. Well, that last day of the Feast of Tabernacles, water flowed out of the temple. They would just take massive amounts of water and pour it down the steps of the temple to represent the future temple, right? Where the river, you know, the water will flow out of the future temple and will heal the Dead Sea. I've been in the Dead Sea, and you don't, there's nothing in the Dead Sea but floating fat people. And that's all that's in the Dead Sea. And, you know, there's no life there. And it says that fishermen are going to be on the shores of the Dead Sea. So here's Jesus at that feast saying, if any man thirst, let him come unto me. And what did that represent? God giving them water from a rock. Tabernacles, right? What does that represent? God living with them in the wilderness. And God providing water for them. And what does Paul tell us? Who was the rock that followed them? Jesus. So it's all tied together, folks. It's all tied together. I love that passage. I'm digressing a little bit. But that rock that followed them. And my mind sees, you know, or else, if not that, whenever they needed water, there it was. You know, but anyway. So here, the Bible prophesied, the Tanakh prophesied that the Messiah would teach in Jerusalem. So he's teaching all over Israel. He's teaching in the Galilee in the north, teaching in the south, and we know even there were times he taught and had very successful ministry in Samaria to the confusion of the disciples, you know. So, okay? All right. So, any thoughts or questions on what we looked at tonight? Any thoughts or questions? Okay. Very good.